In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit sanctifier, here I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, help of all Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will continue today with the letters, the reading of the letters. We are in letter 80.
Yes. Letter number 80 to Sister Remigia. My good daughter, Sister Remigia, thank you for your wishes for Easter and for Saint Aloysius. But what I recommend is that you never lose peace and that you do not think of your miseries and weaknesses. The more you think about them, the more you will feel them. And you will really make Jesus cry. On the other hand, by not thinking of them, dear Jesus will cover them with his love, and the light of his will will change them into fortitude and divine riches. Oh, how I wish you would occupy yourself with nothing but living of the divine will, to let sweet Jesus live always together with you. Never lose sight of him, my daughter. Never leave him alone in your heart. May everything you do serve to court and love Jesus. He looks at everything you do, whether they are things directed to loving him and keeping him company within your heart. Oh, how embittered he remains when your external acts do not echo in your interior, bringing him your kisses, your love, your longed-for company. If you want to be a saint, live always with Jesus. He takes on the commitment to make of you his faithful copy, to the extent of being able to say, Jesus has made of me another Jesus. These are his aims, my daughter. Make him content. Pray for me and leaving you in the arms of the divine will, like a baby who lets her mama do everything to her, I say. Your most affectionate aunt, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, June 26, 1939. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. I don't know what she means when, at the beginning. Thank you for your wishes for Easter, the following part, and for St. Aloysius. Is that a parish? I don't know. But here, the teaching of Luisa Picaretta. As you know, in living the gift of the divine will is about also forgetting ourselves, like forgetting oneself. We know that in the first volumes, our Lord Jesus teaches Luisa Picaretta detachment. She grows in virtue. All of this is a preparation for her to receive the gift of living in union with God's will, basically preparing herself, teaching her the way, and by when I say teaching her the way, basically teaching her to be another Jesus, transforming her to be another Jesus. Our Lord Jesus in the Gospel, he says, I am the way. That There is no other way but only him, because he is the way. So we must enter into him in a way. And the way we enter into him is by allowing him to take possession of our will. So in that sense, he is the way. When we think about our miseries, too much about that is, you know, in the sacrament of confession, we recognize our sins. We are called to recall our sins, to ask for forgiveness, and then to move on. In the first volumes, our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta, she's meditating, I think it's in volume two, that she's wondering, you know, if the Lord really had forgiven her from some sins that she had forgotten. And she confessed them, and still she doesn't know, she's not sure if the Lord had forgiven her. And so the Lord appears to her and he says, after you confess, I forget about everything, something to the extent. And he says, when you go to confession, and if you have confessed and you're still wondering, that's an offense to my mercy, because you don't believe that I am merciful enough, magnanimous enough, benevolent to forgive. So that also can be something like attaching ourselves to sin also, you know, and also to be scrupulous, because scrupulosity focuses on the person only. It centers all the attention in us centering the attention in ourselves, if we did it right, if we did it correctly, if we, you know, and rather than allowing the divine will to naturally take possession of ourselves and to, yes, recognize our sinfulness and our fragility, going to the sacrament of confession and to move on, assisted with the grace that flows from the sacrament. And just in the same way that you don't see, you know, you don't see the light, you don't see what comes out when the priest gives you absolution, but you believe that it's real, that after the priest repeats the words, the Lord has forgiven you, go in peace, that you have the assurity that the Lord has forgiven you. You don't see greater signs. Everything is so quiet. It's the same when the priest whispers the words over the Eucharist, the bread, and it becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. But by faith, we believe that that bread is no longer a piece of bread, but the real presence of our Lord. So, in the same, by living in this way, living this gift in faith, knowing that if we have that intention, if we prepare ourselves and we do everything that the church teaches us to do, then to be sure that the Lord will, a little by little, will help us get rid of our miseries and our weaknesses, and he will really transform us into another Jesus, into himself. If he is able to make from that piece of bread another Jesus, meaning a sacramental Jesus, right? We are talking about here when in the Eucharist is the sacramental presence of our Lord. But nevertheless, he's able to make that piece of bread another Jesus, basically, a host. And that host does not palpitate, it doesn't have a heart that beeps. He doesn't have freedom to give. How much more can he make another Jesus out of each one of us? That we have a heart that beats, we have a free will to give to him. So the only thing that will impede him to make of us another Jesus is that we will say no if we don't want, if we oppose, if we don't give our will. And this can be because we don't know the gift. This can be because we are not closed to the teachings of the Church of Christ, basically the teachings of Christ. Or we can do this. This can happen by negligence, by ignorance. Now, through these writings that Luisa Picaretta is given, the Book of Heaven, we see that in that revelation, we find basically the instructions of how to let us be molded and fashioned by the will of God. Because it was in the beginning, also in the book of Genesis, that God fashioned men out of earth, of clay, right? And then it was his will. We have to be refashioned, remade now through this gift, because the Lord Jesus already opened the doors. He already paid for us with his own blood. God the Father, he already provided the ransom. Just as in the Old Testament, the head of the household had to provide a sacrificial lamb or a goat or a bull on behalf of the household. Now, the Father of all the human race has provided the lamb, which is Jesus. That's why John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God," meaning this is the sacrificial lamb that God the Father of all the human race, has provided for the whole human race now, for mankind, not only for the household of the Jewish people, or not only for that nation, but for the whole human race, for all mankind. So now that we have these writings, he wants us basically to refashion us, to make us again, now through participation, by allowing his will to operate in us, by us donating or giving back our will in freedom, so that he can operate through us. That's why Luisa Picaretta says, he looks at everything you do, whether they are things directed to loving him and keeping him company within your heart. And then how embittered he remains when your external acts do not echo in your interior. Bringing him your kisses, your love, your long for company. Then Luisa Picaretta talks about in many of the letters, she talks about becoming a saint, right? First of all, we are all called to be to the universal call of holiness, to be saints, right? But what does it mean to be holy? Is not to be confused to be pious. To be holy includes piety, but holiness in itself is not piety. No, sorry. Piety in itself is not holiness. Holiness, the idea of holiness in the Old Testament, is to be set apart for a certain purpose. something that is set apart for a certain purpose. So in baptism, we are set apart for God because our purpose, our final end, we are made for God, not for the world. So in that sense, we are made holy. We are set apart for the purpose of loving, adoring, serving God, and turning everything back to Him, giving Him everything that He has given us. So in baptism, we are all called to be holy because we are all being set apart now. And in the ritual of baptism, the priest will say to the baptized person, that you may share in the office of Christ as a priest, prophet, and king, right? So now we belong to Christ. We are set apart for God, and that happens in baptism. So now this idea also of being saints, now our understanding also of sainthood is we consider a saint, or the church considers somebody a saint, somebody who has lived the theological virtues in a heroic way. We see in so many saints, in the martyrs, that they live the virtue of faith in a heroic way because they, when they face persecution, they didn't deny their faith. They remained faithful, even though it was difficult for them, and they knew they will encounter martyrdom. And even with more ardor, with more zeal, they, many of them, they kept shouting, "I am a Christian! I am a Christian!" We can see this in the first martyrs. One of the examples also that comes to mind is during the persecution in Mexico, you know, as the priests, they were executed, and they told them, if you deny the faith, then you can be free. But then even with more faith, they, many of them, they will say, Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King. And as they uttered those words, they were killed, you know? So that's an example of living the faith, the theological virtue of faith in a heroic way. We are all called to live in this way, to live the faith in this way, meaning that no matter what happens, to be always faithful to the teachings of Christ that cannot be changed. Why can these teachings be changed? Because this is what the Lord gave to the disciples, and this is what it has been handed on through many generations, and it has come all the way from Christ through the disciples, through the martyrs and saints, all the way till this day. So we are called also to preserve it, to preserve the faith by believing it, by living it out. And when it comes to the gift of the divine will, we see that in these writings, we find the fulfillment of the Our Father, the prayer of our Lord Jesus, and that we are the recipients of that gift, basically. That just as in the Old Testament, the promise was given to the people of Israel that there will be a virgin that will conceive and give birth to a son named Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And now we have the promise with the prayer that our Lord Jesus gave us in the Our Father. He promised that this gift, that His will be done on earth, as it is written and done in heaven already. So we are now the recipients of that promise. We see the fulfillment in our days of that promise. So how blessed are we, right? We are blessed because we are living in this time. And we are called to live out this gift and to learn about the gift of the divine will and to live it out right there where the Lord has put us in the mission that He has gave us, whether it is in marriage and family, in our vocation, religious vocation, in whatever vocation the Lord has given us, we are called to live this gift right there. And it can be challenging. But as Luisa Picaretta says, the Lord seeks everything. Why? Because this is not a matter of doing big things or small things. Everything counts here. Every single thing counts. From the blinking of the eye to the greatest, sermon or the mission, every single act counts. And the Lord can transform us into another of Himself. And basically, this is what He wants us. He wants to transform us into Himself. So He is the cause, basically. He's the one who causes that to happen in us. We are just the matter, we can say, right? Just as in the Eucharist, the bread is the matter, but the one who causes that is Christ through the priesthood, through the sacrament. So we become the material cause. We can say, just as the host is offer and basically is there waiting to be transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity. When we give our acts and we give our will for them, for the acts and for our acts to be transformed, basically to transform us or to be animated by the will of God operating through us, so that one day we become really another Jesus. A little by little, act by act, He's able to transform us into another Jesus, so we become living hosts in that way. Living hosts because we breathe, we palpitate, and that doesn't mean that the host doesn't have the real presence when consecrated. I'm just saying that the host doesn't breathe, doesn't have life of its own. So our Lord Jesus, in the writings, He says that He longs to be basically incarnated in our souls again through the acts, right? So in that way, we become another living host. He's able to make us another Jesus. And when we receive the sacramental Jesus, that will fortify our own acts. It will give them more light. It will nurture them, basically. And this is the way that He will transform us. Then, in that sense, the sacraments, then, they will really become a nourishment for everybody. So, why? Because the healing will happen from the inside, because the first wound that we experienced was within the will. So the will has to be fixed first, has to be healed. Sometimes we seek so much healing outside, physical, and that's understandable because if you stop and think, we are not, it's not natural to suffer because we were not made to suffer. In the beginning, God didn't make us to suffer. We were supposed to live in that union. Suffering and death and pain and all of that came only after. It's the consequence of that wound that happened. So I will say that we also have to pray for this healing, for the healing of our will. And how many times we have prayed for that? How many times we have asked the Lord, Lord, heal me from this wound? We are healed from that in baptism, but still the consequence, which is called concupiscence, the inclination to sin that keeps pulling us back and back and back. So we have to pray that He will completely heal the consequence in our bodies, the consequence of that original wound. So this is something that we also have to have in mind. And the Gospels, our Lord says, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be given unto you. And then he says to the people, if you who are some translations they translated as evil. If you who are evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more our Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, will give if you ask? And how much more our Heavenly Father will heal our wounds, the wound of original sin, again, that is cured in baptism, but the cause. Concupiscence remains. So, how much more our Heavenly Father will cure us from that concupiscence and really at the center of our will? Why? Because as long as the human will remains detached from the divine will, which is the will of God, we will be ill. It's unnatural for us to suffer. If you stop and think, it's unnatural because this is not the way God intended to be. So I think I propose to all of you that we have to start asking our Lord to heal us from those consequences of original sin. And basically, this is what we do when we ask our Lord to give us the grace to be chaste, the grace to be forgiven, and all of this because anger came after. It's one of the capital sins. If you stop and look at the capital sins, these are consequences of the fall. So the church has taught us to do penance, to pray, to do mortifications, to ask so that we may acquire the virtue that is needed in us. But as we understand also the gift of the divine will and that everything now is a consequence of that separation, of that rupture from, excuse me, of that, separation of the two wills. Now, through these writings, is given to us basically the instruction of how to go back to that union using our own will. So that our Lord Jesus may transform us into another of himself, so that what the Catechism says in 381 can be also fulfilled in us. 381 of the Catechism that says that he is the first one of many brothers and sisters that will come to be like him. And this is the way that is going to happen. So let's keep moving to the next letter and see.
Letter number 81 to Mother Cecilia. My good and reverend mother, infinite thanks for your wishes and for your Easter letters, which I enjoyed very much, and also for the trifles, as you say, that you sent me. Thank you for everything. I feel my gratitude vividly, and even though you may forget me, I will never forget about you. And since I am a being incapable of doing good to anyone, I pray for one who has loved me very much and maybe still loves me. Since in my present conditions, it seems that I have fallen into disgrace for all, but not for my dear Jesus, and this is enough for me. Therefore, my dearest mother, I do nothing but pray that the divine will would substitute for me, giving you the greatest grace of enclosing you in his will, in which you will find everything you need to make yourself a great saint. You will no longer belong to the human family, but to the divine. You will have light, love, and sanctity at your disposal. Your pains, your character, as you told me in your Easter letter, will be invested by the divine pains and character, and everything will be changed into love. Love will make everything easy for you, more so since you will no longer do everything by yourself, but always with a will so holy, which can do everything. I believe you will appreciate my poor prayers, my mother. There is nothing left for us in life but to close our ears to everything if we want to be at peace, even in the midst of the greatest storms. Only the Lord knows what we are going through, and from people we would not expect. We would never have thought that so much perfidy could be in religious people. May the Lord bless everyone and defend his holy will, which he has so much loves to be known. Therefore, let us pray. I also thank the whole community. I pray that all of them may hide themselves in the divine will if they want to become saints. With the most tiny things, with trifles, we can form the little stones to give the divine fiat the material to build our sanctity. And for this, one attention, one thought, one word left unsaid, one sigh of desire for the holy will is enough. My mother, pray for me. When will we see each other again? But fiat, fiat, I leave you in the divine volition, and even though far away, we will be united. In kissing your right hand, I say always, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, Fia.
Thank you. This idea of being part of the family of the divine will, this idea of not, as Giuseppe Carretta says, you will no longer belong to the human family, but to the divine. And then she says that you will have light, love, and sanctity at your disposal. This is really our inheritance. Our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Pigarretta in the Book of Heaven that the divine will is really our inheritance, because again, this is the way God intended for us to live since the beginning. And he has not changed his mind. Right after the fall, he never changed his mind. He says that even he even felt so much love for poor Adam. He felt pity, and that love that immediately he promised the Redeemer. And we are all part of the divine family, and the proof of this is the church gives us this in the sacrament again of baptism, when we hear again the priest saying that you may share in the office of Christ as a priest, king, and prophet. See, we belong to the royal family of the Blessed Trinity, the divine family, because in the spiritual sense, we have a divine origin. And this might sound a little bit unfamiliar, but what I mean, but when I say divine origin, meaning that God is our Father, we all come from the will of God. He taught in each one of us, and then we came into existence. Right there, we come from God, everybody. So that's what I mean when I say that we all have a divine origin. And since God Himself is light, He gives us that light. Since God Himself is a spirit, our soul is spiritual. So, in that sense, we are like God. Because our soul is spiritual. You don't see your soul, but yet it's the soul that animates our body. Once the soul goes out, then we are not able to do acts anymore. We become corpses. So we are like God in the sense, yeah, that we are spiritual, our soul is spiritual, is not material, the soul is not material. We have a divine origin, meaning that we belong to God. He made us. The psalm says we are his people, the flock his shepherds, right? And since he is light, he wants to fill us with that light. How? Through understanding, through the sacraments, through every single act done in the divine will, that there is not basically a wasted act in the divine will, that God sees, he sees every single act that we do, provided that is not a sinful act, then everything can be united with him. And since God is love, and what is love in the eyes of God is self-giving. God loves us so much that he wants to give us the best. He wants to give us the highest good, and he himself is the highest good, so he gives himself to us. In many ways, he gives himself through nature. The sun is a reflection of who God is, of something of God. The sun reflects light, gives light. So it tells us that God is light. God gives himself through that, through the sun. Can you imagine if there were not a sun, the whole thing will be frozen. There will be no light. I mean, life. So you can see that through different things. So in creation, we can see now that creation is an expression of God's love, God giving himself to the creatures in many different ways. So he's waiting for us to give ourselves back to him using those same channels. He gives himself to us through the sacraments. So he's waiting for us to give ourselves back to him through the sacraments. When we go to confession and we return, we ask for forgiveness, we are giving ourselves back to him, renouncing sin and acknowledging that we have offended him and basically giving back ourselves to him again in love. So, Luisa Picaretta says, love will make everything easy for you, more so since you will no longer do anything by yourself, but always with a will so holy which can do everything. So this is the same, not only for Sister Cecilia, but it's for all of us, or for everybody who comes to know this gift and encounters this gift and really gives himself, herself to this way of life, allowing our Lord just to possess our will. Then by faith, we will know that it is our Lord Jesus operating in us. We will not see it. This is as we don't see that the bread and wine is transformed. Our eyes tells us it is a piece of bread and wine. But faith tells us, no, now is the body, blood, soul, and divinity. Faith tells us the original sin has been removed after we are baptized. Faith tells us we have received the gifts of the Holy Spirit after confirmation, and so on with the other sacraments. There is no thunder, there is no big noise, there is nothing. Everything happens so silently. It's the same when we give ourselves and we pray in this way, and we give all our acts in the divine will. We don't see it, but the Lord says, you are being filled with light. One act is like a sun, and the sun more beautiful and brighter than the others, and the other, and the other, and the other, and the other, and the others. So that's the way. We don't see it. There is nothing that externally tells us that this is happening, but by faith we believe it. Now, in the Book of Heaven, we see different parts, even the testimony of Father Anibal, that he really says, yes, this is truth, this is what happens. So that's why the gift of faith, and the gift of hope, and the gift of charity, of love is needed. And God initiates that in us. He knows that we need it. So now, once we receive it, it should grow in us, it should multiply. So not only for Mother Cecilia, this is this advice, but now that we are reading it, is the same for all of us. Since you will no longer do anything by yourself, but always with a will so holy, which can do everything, then you will have peace. So all our actions, all our prayers, our sacrifices, everything basically turns into prayer, into an act of adoration. Is the material, basically. Our acts is the material through which our Lord is able to transform us, and it is his will that moves everything. So Then the final cause, the end for all of this is for the greater glory of God, for the glory of God. And then as a consequence, right, of us giving that glory, then we are sanctified. We are filled with light. We are being transformed into another Jesus. We are being healed from the inside out. From the spiritual part that needs to be healed first. That's why also it's so important to baptize the children so early, you know. In ancient times, also in different cultures, parents will baptize children right away. Luisa Picaretta was, she was baptized right away. In many cultures, they will baptize the infant before the top of their head became mature or will close and seal. And you know, that's a beautiful example. Anointing the infants with that, like, really shows the significance of the Holy Spirit as being open now. That's how God created us, open for Him. And as we grow older, we close and close and close and close, right? So we, in the spiritual sense, we should always be open like that. And you know, being baptized in that state of life, receiving not only spiritually, but now also physically, literally being open to receive God, right? And it's always the head that is being anointed. Jesus is the anointed of God, right? The anointed of God the Father, and He's been anointed with the Holy Spirit. We are being anointed also with the Holy Spirit to become another Christ. So now, when we remain in this openness now by intention, by trying to live in this way, then what it does in us, of course, God the Father is being glorified, the Blessed Trinity is being glorified, and the creature, what the as an effect, is being transformed into another Jesus. Right? So this should be the final cause of everything, that we want the glory of God. And knowing that in giving Him glory, we are being perfected. Right? And Luisa Picaretta gives this advice again, with your sufferings, all of this is material to build our sanctity. This is material to build our sanctity. Whenever I hear these expressions in Luisa Picaretta, the thing that comes to mind to me is like those little birds during spring, that they care, they are running all over the place to make the nest. So I don't know about you, but I never seen a bird carrying a complete nest and going and install their nest in a tree. No, they go just like one little branch, a little bit of clay, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little piece of this, a little piece of that, and a little by little, a little by little, you see how beautiful they build those nests. And the structure and the form and different ways according to the kind, you know? Different, some of them, this is pure clay. And how do they stick everything together? And the other different branches and different. So, a little by little, right? I'm sure some material is more difficult than the other or easier than the other, right? A little bit of clay here, I think it's easier than a piece of branch for them to carry or wherever. So is everything to sufferings, our joys, everything that we go through. So we should not waste anything. And this, when we pray, I don't know if you are familiar with the writings of the Divine Mercy. And in those writings, in that prayer of Sister Faustina that our Lord gives to Sister Faustina, we pray that we should not become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to His holy will, which is mercy and love itself. Mercy that He is so benevolent, His benevolence itself, Himself. And love, that prayer says that His holy will, which is mercy and love that love given, meaning that He is totally a self-giving person, we can say. That he retains nothing for himself, that he gives everything that he is. And this is exactly what St. John says. Look, the love, how much God the Father loves us, that he gave his only begotten Son. This is how God loves us. So it is not only our sufferings, not only our joys, it's everything that we go through. Sometimes he will let us experience suffering until we accept it, and suffering will say to joy, I have done my part, now it's your turn. There is a wonderful passage in volume 12. I don't recall the date now, but this is at the beginning of the volume 12. The Lord says to Luisa Picaretta, this is what happens. When joy has done its part in you, joy will say to piety, I have done my part, now it is your time, piety. And when piety has completed its office, then piety will say to suffering, I have done my part, it is your time, and so on. And so we have to experience everything that our Lord Jesus experienced. He experienced joy, suffering, peace, crucifixion. Hopefully, we will not experience that, right? But sometimes it spiritually feels like that. Sometimes physically feels like that we are being crucified. So what Luisa Picaretta is saying here, all of these, they become occasions. Every little thing is an occasion for us to become to be transformed. We become the material for the divine will to build in us that sanctity, right? So see your acts, your sufferings, your pains, your sorrows, your joys, everything as material for you. I don't know if you have seen people at the end of their life. Some people who they just go to tremendous suffering, but at the end of their life they look so sanctified. I don't find another word to say, but so sanctified. Their face so peaceful, almost like emanating light from the inside out. So the word I say is sanctified. You know, they look so sanctified, like so ready to go. And they just irradiate that peace. And it happens the same with so many people that they go through many different situations. We don't know what they are going through, and yet they seem like they are emanating, they emanate that light, that peace. You know, one that comes to mind is Mother Teresa of Calcutta. So many saints that they experience suffering, but this spiritual advice that Luisa Picaretta is giving to all these people in the letters, you can see that it's a very simple way of teaching, but yet is very profound. And if we really take it in as something that is being said to us also in our time, we have to do the same. Luisa Picaretta is telling us, yeah, even the most tiny sufferings, trifles, those little stones, those are little stones to give the divine fiat material to build your sanctity, our sanctity. So don't waste that material. In the words of the Beatitudes, you know, of the gospel, the Lord says, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Blessed are you when you suffer because of my name." And this really, we can make it, if we look at that gospel and we look at the divine will, we can really say to ourselves how blessed I am that I am able to be united with our Lord. How blessed I am to give this suffering to the Lord, to unite this with Him. So, how blessed I am that the Lord will use my sufferings to help somebody else's or to sanctify me, you know? And remember, the more we are sanctified here on earth, the less thing we will spend in purgatory. So, don't waste any suffering. Yes. Don't waste any act. Is every single act is like that little thing, that little branch, that little piece of clay, you know, in the putting the image of the birds that are carrying that little thing to make that nest. And it doesn't happen just with one act. It doesn't happen just with one little branch that the birds carry. It takes a lot of work, constancy, a lot of effort, right? So let us ask our Lord Jesus that through the intercession of the Blessed Mother, we may always be mindful of this gift that the Lord has given us, and may we always have that desire in our hearts to love God with everything that we are. May we all have the desire to grow in the knowledge and understanding of this gift of being united with the will of God. May we all have the desire to be living host, to be transformed into another Jesus. And may it be for the praise and glory of God our Father. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever.